Hello and welcome to the Cambi Quarterly Results Podcast. I'm Gerard Starkey, SVP of Marketing and Communications at Cambi. And once again, I'm joined by Cambi CEO Christian Nylén and CFO David Kenyon. So thanks for joining me, guys. Today, we're discussing the Q1 2024 results, which were published on the 24th of April, and we're recording this on the 1st of May. Christian, before we dive into the Q1 results, this is the first podcast recording since the release of the annual report, the 2023 annual report a few weeks ago. So it'd be great to get your reflections on 2023 as a whole, really, and how you look back on the year.
Thanks, Gerard. Yeah, from an operational and commercial perspective, I think 2023 was a really, really good year. We have, of course, the signings of Bally's, LiveScore and Svenska Spel. But I think we had a record year in number of signings in total. And on top of that, these three quite large signings. I'm very pleased with that. I'm really pleased on where we got with our organization and our new focus on a more modular strategy. Having said all of that, I mean, obviously, we are not 100% happy with our financial performance in 2023. First, we have Shape Games, which we believed would perform better than they did. And then we had a few of our largest partners who did not as a strong year on sports betting that we expected. And that obviously affects us since we are having revenue share deals with these partners. And finally, I would have hoped that we would have got further with regulation, especially. We thought in the beginning of the year that Brazil would happen during 2023, and we are unfortunately still waiting on that.
Thanks for that. Well, I suppose the good thing is now that there's kind of the opportunity to address some of those things in 2024. So if you move on to the Q1 performance, I think it's fair to say that it was broadly in line with expectations, our own internal expectations. But what were the highlights of the quarter from your perspective?
I mean, commercially, I think it's quite quiet quarter. As you said, I think we are in line with what we expected our revenues be. So it's an okay quarter. We did some commercial things here. We extended with Penn retail until 2026. And we did sign Quiff through our division Tesseract, which is exciting, of course. And after a quarter, we did a large signing in Choctaw. So it's looking like we are picking up on the commercial side for sure. We did also do some work to take us closer to the launches of LiveScore and Svenska Spel. So we integrated Inspired to get virtual racing and sports, which was important for LiveScore. And with that, I think we have put ourselves in a better position to really start focusing on a more modular service going forward.
Okay, great. I'll come back to the modular side of things in a moment. But if we just talk about those two partner signings you mentioned and take those separately. So let's start with the more recent one, and that was the Choctaw Tribe of Oklahoma that was signed, I think it was the Friday after the report. What are the main drivers behind the deal, the attraction around Choctaw, and what we can expect from that?
I mean, Choctaw, I think, has been a target ever since PASPA opened. So this is something we have been working on for many, many years. I think Choctaw has great potential. It's one of the largest tribes in the U.S., and we're really happy with this deal. First of all, they are a very large land-based operator in Oklahoma, just on the border to Texas. So Oklahoma and the proximity to Texas is very interesting in itself. But Choctaw also have a partnership with Texas Rangers, the current World Series champions. I think that also gives us a very interesting possibilities in regards to sports betting in Texas. So all in all, I'm super happy with this deal, and they are planning to operate in multiple states in the US.
And the Choctaw deal also strengthens Cambi's network of tribal partners, Christian. So why do you think Cambi has enjoyed so much success with tribes throughout the years post-PASPA?
I think we have, from the beginning, been very focused. We have partnered with a few tribal operators for many years, and I think we have built a lot of trust in that part of the market. I think this is something we hopefully will see more of in the future.
Great. Okay, and moving on to the other deal you mentioned with regards to the AI division, Tesseract, part of the Cambi Group, and their first real deal outside of the Cambi network with Quith, the European operator. Tell us a little bit about that and sort of why this is a good first commercial deal for Tesseract.
The most important for Tesseract is to be able to showcase their abilities with external partners. Of course, you can always see the strength of their product on the Cambi network, but really important that you can see that it works as a standalone service as well. And with Quith, I think we have a great opportunity to showcase that. Quith, I think, is a very innovative company, mainly focused on the UK markets. So it will be very interesting to see how we can, with our data and service, make this something very exciting in their sportsbook.
Fantastic. Yeah, and I suppose it demonstrates again the kind of the modularity of Cambi now. And on that topic, at the presentation last week following the publication of the report, Christian, you commented on or presented on increasingly the openness of the Cambi platform, kind of trialed the Cambi Odds API, which would be kind of an exciting development on the Cambi journey. So could you tell us a little bit more about that and what the difference would be between sort of the Cambi Odds API and what's available in the market at the moment? Regards odds feeds,
I think the most interesting for what we can deliver is that, I mean, we have such an amazing depth and breadth of our offering. If we combine what Cambi is currently doing with Abios odds on esports and now Tesseract and their capabilities on taking the odds services even further. And we can do all of this with one API solution for customers. So they can get quite a large different offer from us, which I think is very, very interesting. Of course, one other really important aspect here is that, I mean, everything we are doing at Cambi, I mean, is based on an enormous set of data, and that can be utilized in our odds feeds as well, of course. I think we are in a very, very good spot here now. As I communicated during last year, that we had to change our focus a little bit to be able to accommodate the demands from the large partners we signed last year. But we are through most of that now, and now we can focus even more of our efforts on really get the modular services going.
Let's turn to you now, David. Just again, looking at the Q1 from a financial numbers perspective, what was it that jumped out for you, or what were the main highlights from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I'd say, as you mentioned earlier, the revenues were quite in line with our expectations, so 43.2 million versus 44 million Q1 last year. I think our biggest headwind this quarter was something we talked about in the Q4 report when we mentioned that the financial effect of some of the renewals of some key contracts we'd made would take effect from January. And we, of course, saw that here in Q1. So that was the biggest financial headwind we faced. On the flip side, we were supported by a strong margin of 9% in the quarter, which obviously helped with the numbers. But so that got us to 43.2 million on the revenue line. And then on top of that, you can layer on the very tight control of costs in the quarter. And that actually led to earnings before interest, tax and amortization on acquisitions actually being flat versus last year at 5.8 million. So, you know, quite pleased relatively with that compared to last year.
Perhaps dive a bit deeper on the costs. Like you said there, they came in at the lower end of the guidance. So what is behind that? Is it just general tighter cost control, or is there any other aspects that's worth highlighting there?
Obviously, a lot of our costs are fixed, but where we do have variable costs, really clamped down on those and shown very tight cost control of those variable costs on the P&L. Also, if you remember back this time last year, we made a significant round of savings in the first half of 2023, which we're really seeing the benefits of now. So if you look back versus last year we had around $1 million in severance pay relating to that savings program, and also about $500,000 FX cost. But still, to see a total cost decrease from 39.5 to 38.8 quarter was actually really pleasing. And I think if you look at the full year ahead in this report, we tightened the range of our expectation on costs. So I think we're going to retain the same tight grip on costs and hopefully land within that range of 158 to 163 million year basis.
Another aspect that's been prominent over the last couple of quarters has been around the share buybacks. If you could provide the most recent update on where we're at with these now, and do we expect this to continue for a while yet?
Yeah, I mean, this is where you can really see the benefits of having a strong balance sheet. So we've been putting that to good use in the quarter. We bought around 250,000 shares with it in the quarter. And on top of that, we also actually recently announced another program of 4 million for buybacks, of which 3.3 million was still left to use at the end of the quarter prior to our AGM in May. So, you know, it's been a busy time for share buybacks, and I think that's a good use of our funds. Looking forward, I'd say we've in our AGM notice, we're looking for shareholder approval for a new mandate for buybacks. So, you know, watch this space. But if it's approved, then there's definitely the potential for the board to agree on a longer mandate and maybe a higher value of buyback program going forwards.
Okay, so potentially more to come in the future. Okay, thanks, David. Heading back to you now, Christian, just a few more before we finish up. Again, during report and going back to the modules, you said that was the module aspects were gaining commercial momentum now, which of course is fantastic to see. But what's the general kind of market appetite around the turnkey? Is that something we're still seeing? It's been attractive in the market?
Yeah, absolutely. I think turnkey will be our main revenue drivers for any foreseeable future. I think there is a great appetite and a lot of interesting opportunities. I mean, Shokta is, of course, one good win, but I think we have a fantastic product, and I think we will continue to open up our platform, and that will give us even better opportunities and give the partners even better and greater control.
Probably going to be people chatting at the podcast saying you've got to ask them about the process around the appointment of your successor. So I don't know if there's anything you can provide on that, Christian.
No, not very much. I mean, there is a process. We are having a handful of candidates that we are going through a process with, and hopefully something will be concluded before the summer.
Excellent. Okay, let's look ahead then to wrap up with. We've got an exciting summer of sport, and particularly football coming up with the Euros and Copa. What should we be expecting from Canby kind of in the run-up and during that tournament, Christian?
I mean, we have a couple of very big and exciting launches, live sport in the UK and Svenska Spel in Sweden. Of course, we hope that Quiff will go live with Tesseract Bet Builder before the tournament. I think you can expect that our partners will have a fantastic offer on our soccer product ahead of the tournament. I really think that we are in a good position, both in Europe and LATAM, to give them the best opportunities to win market shares during the big tournaments.
Excellent. And most importantly, are you a backer or a layer of England at 3-1 to win the Euros?
I will not back that, for sure.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining me, guys, and thanks for everyone who's tuned in to listen. We'll be back probably late July, early August to review the Q2 results. So hope to see you then. Thanks a lot.